Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! The hour, and welcome to this Thursday evening's program. I thought we would. There's plenty of news on the hopper, as it were. Kind of hard to avoid the Rolling Stone story that's out there, titled "Another Runaway General: Army Deploys PsyOps on U.S. Senators." We'll probably get into that later in the program. But, on the other hand, who's surprised? You? Not I. There was a lot of the typical Captain Reno, "I'm shocked, I tell you, shocked," to find out that the military brass in Afghanistan would try to influence senators, blah, 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 all over the for-profit media all day long. But you and I, we've our eyes open, have we not? We ain't shocked. Not shocked at all. We got that, and we've got, and like I said, I thought we'd catch up with some lunatic odds and ends. Nutty, disgusting, repulsive, heartbreaking. Yeah, there's some of that too. No end of it all. Don't really know where to start. There's a lot of different places to go. But I did it's kind of necessary, since there's a challenge floating around out there. It's somewhat necessary that we begin with a little bit of an update. You will recall that Darlene dropped a note yesterday offering to match contributions up to $200. So that we would have $400 in the end of the month kitty, and be that much closer to making our February fundraising goal. And she made that kind offer so that anyone contributions up to $200 would be matched for a total of up to $400. And I'm here to tell you that we are at the $130 mark. That's inspiring from yesterday to today. If we could do that every day, I could stop doing this. But that's where we stand. We are at $130, and so that we need seven people. Seven people in the next 3 hours to contribute $10 apiece. Remember, that makes the program practically free. Well, it is free. Who am I kidding? It's free to anyone who listens, and the beauty of that model is that we all understand that we are all taking care of one another. No one will ever be told that they can't have this program because they haven't paid. It will be free. It goes up on the archives at White Rose Society. It goes to podcasting. There's a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week stream on our stream, which is available in a number of places. Tune in radio, iTunes Radio, Stitcher Radio, on and on and on. And there is never a price tag attached to any of it. And you also don't have to put up with advertising as well. You will hear mention of CityNet. You will hear mention of Coal River Mountain Watch. You will hear mention of Bubble Genius. But these are not advertisements in the true sense of the word. We get the program to you because we get CityNet internet service at a discounted rate. So naturally, it's only fair to tell you about them. Cold River Mountain Watch is and has been for a number of years a partial sponsor of everything that happens on the Horn. And naturally, I will tell you about what they are doing. Bubble Genius just keeps us clean. Yeah, purveyors of wonderful, wonderful soaps, bubblegenius.com. And you get the satisfaction of knowing you're not rubbing your body with a bunch of the God only knows what better living through chemistry stuff when you use their soaps. And it is my pleasure to recommend them to you. You know, just in order not to be able to be doing the corporate soap thing, I would tell you about them under any circumstance because I know them personally and I think they are wonderful people. And I believe in supporting those who are doing that which I believe to be honorable, decent, and downright good business. And I want to add one to the list this evening, if I may. You know, I'm a foodie. One of the very few television programs I watch is No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain. There's a new season beginning. This is not a paid advertisement either. There's a new season beginning this Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be Haiti. And I have a feeling that this will be different in the way that the Beirut episode was different. You're not going to see a lot of coverage of fine dining in Port-au-Prince. This is what makes Anthony Bourdain worth watching, the Haiti episode. And the season has a lot of other places that I'm guessing Rachel Ray would never go. But I'm a foodie. I don't like that word. I like good food. I like real food. I like non-corporate food. I like food that still has a bit of the art about it. And so I add one to the list this evening. The tribe and I got back from the Lib boat cruise, a day or so after, a package showed up on my doorstep. It was a belated birthday gift. I had recently turned 48 years old. And this insulated box with those ice packs in it showed up. And in it was a wonderland of wonderful, artisanal, old-school German meat products. Wursts, if you will. They came from Baltimore. They came from a company called Binkert's. A company? No. It's a delicatessen. They make their own stuff. Binkert's. B-I-N-K-E-R-T-S. Binkert's. You can go there. The website is binkerts.com. Yummy! Oh, the Wursts. Original Frankfurters. Frankfurters made the way that they were made when they were named for the city of Frankfurt, right? Let's see, Jägerwurst. Now, I mean, that just sounds yummy, doesn't it? I guess that would be Hunter's sausage. The Bratwurst, Weisswurst. Wieners, you know, named, of course, for Vienna, Vienne. The list is Knackwurst, Bauernwurst. And these are all made by hand, and I have been slowly doling them out to myself in these blissed out moments of pure food enjoyment. So if you're like me and you like that, you know, you can't live on this stuff because we're not like our ancestors 110 years ago, 120, 130 years ago, working from dawn to dusk in the field and burning everything up, metabolizing everything as quickly as it comes in. we can't eat 2 pounds of sausage and sausage gravy and biscuits every morning and expect to live to tell the tale at age 62. We are a different people. But once in a while you can. Once in a while you can treat yourself. And when you want to do that, why would you want to go with some corporate crap from Eckrich, which is owned by some massive corporation that, you know, helped bring swine flu to America with their fetid pits in Mexico? Right? Why? Yeah, precisely. So when you do want to do that, just write this down, because it's delicious. It is delicious. And they've got that real, really old school stuff. They've got, what is it, Zungenwurst. It's a blood sausage made with tongue. And some of you might go, ew, but some of you are going, oh, yeah. All kinds of smoked sausages, pork, beef, veal, hoo-wee, and a beer wurst. It's like the most delicate bologna you've ever had, with a little substance added in, with little mustard seeds and a hint of garlic. And it really is beer wurst. I mean, to sit down and have slices of that with a little bit of really substantial bread, maybe some sweet mustard or hot mustard, while you're drinking a big tankard of So just a little reminder. When you do want to do something like that, when you really want to treat yourself, and this is how you want to treat yourself, Binkerts.com, Binkerts.com, a family-owned business since 1964 in Baltimore. Because that's America to me. That's what we have to support. You and I both know that small businesses are the very heart and soul of the American middle class. It's where we get things done. You know, I don't want food made by a wholly owned subsidiary conglomerate of General Electric or Grumman or Boeing or General Dynamics. I don't want that. I want to know that people who care about what they're making, who aren't just sitting there watching things fly past them at 35 miles an hour on a conveyor belt, have made what I'm feeding myself and my family. So Binkerts.com, when you want a little taste of the Black Forest, a little bit of Watch on the Rhine sausage. When you're feeling Wagnerian at lunch, yeah, Binkerts, Binkerts.com, yummy, yummy, yummy. And that's the thing. I've tasted it. I know. You should envy me, unless you're a vegetarian. So I just wanted to let you know all that. 13 minutes past the hour. Now, I mentioned this Rolling Stone article. Another runaway general, Army deploys psyops on U.S. senators. It has to do with a general, Lieutenant General William Caldwell. He's got 3 stars on each shoulder, and he's in charge of training Afghan troops. Talk about a fruitless mission. Because that's where we've hung all of our hopes over there, is in training the, what was it Dim Leader used to say? When the Iraqis stand up, we'll stand down. Well, we've apparently decided that when the Afghans stand up, we'll stand down too. Which is offensive, which is futile, which is silly, which is utterly ignorant of anything resembling a working knowledge of the history of the region. Lieutenant General William Caldwell is in charge of training Afghan troops. And he has an information operations military unit there. And last year at Camp Eggers, Eggers, in Kabul, he pressured the information operations unit to target visiting senators and other VIPs, including Joint Chiefs Chairman Michael Mullen, Admiral Michael Mullen, with PSYOPs. Lieutenant Colonel Michael Holmes dropped the dime. He said, "My job in PSYOPs is to play with people's heads to get the enemy to behave the way we want them to behave." He didn't want to follow the orders to play with the heads of the senators and visiting dignitaries. He added, according to the article from Rolling Stone, "I'm prohibited from doing that to our own people. When you ask me to try these skills on senators and congressmen, you're crossing a line." The article states that it's a long list of people who were supposedly to be targeted with these PSYOPs. I suppose this would be an appropriate point in time to mention that it is an old truism that military intelligence is a contradiction in terms, an oxymoron. Rolling Stone obtained internal documents that show that those singled out for the PSYOPs... It's going to be hard. Okay. If you have to laugh during this, it's okay. Because really, this does prove that military intelligence is a contradiction in terms. They wanted to use PSYOPs on John McGrumpy. Really. And Joe Lieberman, who's never met a Muslim he didn't want to see dead. Joe Lieberman is a horrible, horrible old bigot. Now, here's where it gets a little weird. I can't see needing PSYOPs on John McCain. Can we get out? My friends, can we get out the napalm? Do we have any tiger cages here? But Democratic Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island, Democratic Senator Al Franken of Minnesota, Democratic Senator Carl Levin of Michigan, House Appropriations Committee member Representative Steve Israel, Admiral Mike Mullen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as I've already mentioned, and here's one, the Czech ambassador to Afghanistan, the German interior minister, and a host of influential think tank analysts. You'll have to read the article for yourself. I'm not going to go through it all. But the unit was a propaganda unit. And they were supposed to, then the lieutenant colonel who bucked the order was supposed to use psychological pressure to encourage these elected representatives, these senators, and these dignitaries to apparently go home and say, "Gosh, we need more troops in Afghanistan, because we can really win one for the Gipper." The article reads, when, and it's talking about Lieutenant Colonel Holmes, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Holmes. When Lieutenant Colonel Holmes and his four-man team arrived in Afghanistan in November 2009, their mission was to assess the effects of U.S. propaganda on the Taliban and the local Afghan population. But the following month, Holmes began receiving orders from Caldwell's staff to direct his expertise on a new target, visiting Americans. At first, the orders came verbally. According to Holmes, who attended at least a dozen meetings with Caldwell to discuss the operation, the general wanted the IO unit to do the kind of seemingly innocuous work usually delegated to the two dozen members of his public affairs staff, compiling detailed profiles of the VIPs, including their voting records, their likes and dislikes, their hot-button issues. In one email to Holmes, Caldwell's staff also wanted to know how to shape the general's presentations to the visiting dignitaries and how best to refine our messaging. Do you have any doubt now, if you did before? I didn't. I don't think you did either. But is there any remaining doubt now of what a miserable failure Afghanistan is and will continue to be until we leave that country to its own choices and its own decisions and its own right to self-determination? when generals decide that they have to, that the facts as they're presenting them are not enough to get the job done, that they have to spin it, that they have to manipulate it, that they have to finesse it, I'd say the mission is pretty well toast at that point. Then again, if you've ever seen that brilliant documentary, whose name escapes me, it's one word, it's named after a fallen soldier. Somebody will tell me in a minute. You understand that Afghanistan has been lost for a long time. It wasn't lost by the troops on the ground. And to be completely fair, it wasn't necessarily lost by the generals. It is not because we had bad strategy. It's not because we sent General X instead of General Y. It's not because we shorted them on bombs. It's not because we didn't have enough of the troops on the ground. It's not because they were poorly fed or overly fed. It is because we are wildly out of our element. We are wildly out of the realm of anything resembling us having any business there. It is because a nation of free people, by definition, should not be able to impose its will upon other nations yearning to breathe free, to quote Emma Lazarus. Or so it seems to me. In other words, it was doomed from the start. Because the wars a nation starts are very seldom in the modern era wars that the nation that starts them is able to end successfully. I don't think anyone would call the end of the, or whatever this low point of the Iraq War is, I don't think anyone would call that a success. Afghanistan has not been, will not be, and never will be a success. Vietnam, sorry. Korea, stalemate. Ask General Guderian about wars of choice and wars of aggression started out of the egomaniacal desires of the leadership. I'm still a little bit, I laugh. It's funny. The idea of trying to influence John McCain to like a war more than he already likes it. Here, Senator McCain, here's a bowl of bloody ice cream. Would you like some more blood on it? Oh, yes, my friend, please. The Pentagon, the only response the Pentagon has is to say, well, consider the source. This is the same guy who brought down General McChrystal. That's like a non-denial denial, isn't it? Sounds like it is. So the article is at rollingstone.com. Another runaway general, Army deploys psyops on U.S. senators. I would love to see some response from Al Franken because he was one of the quote-unquote targeted senators. I have a feeling that that kind of stuff doesn't work on Al. Al is an extremely patriotic man. But I can't see him falling for this kind of Keystone Cops approach. It'll be interesting to see if he has any comment anywhere along the way. But apparently it did ruffle the feathers of Lieutenant Colonel Holmes. who didn't like being tasked contrary to the law of the United States. There are still some members of the military of the United States, hopefully a majority, who do believe in the rule of law, even where bloodshed, massacre, and warfare are concerned. And Lieutenant Colonel Holmes appears to be one of them. So that's a thing for us to consider, perhaps to discuss, as the program continues this evening. Other things? Sure. And lots of them. Last night during the discussion of Scott Walker, Snot Walker, Coke Whore, I wondered who might bring some sort of charges against Wisconsin Governor Snot Walker. And we found out, of course, that the Attorney General of Wisconsin is a Repiglican, like Walker, so that let him out of the loop. But news came out today that the police chief of Madison, Wisconsin, has an interest, as did Lieutenant Colonel Holmes, in the actual rule of law. You'll recall that in the big setup phone call that was covered extensively all over the place yesterday, that Scott Walker admitted to a phony David Koch that he had considered sending spies or troublemakers or agents provocateurs, whatever you care to call them, into the rank and file of those protesting in Madison, Wisconsin. And that he had discussed it with his cabinet? Well, that apparently was bothersome, at least, to Chief Noble Ray, W-R-A-Y, Police Chief Noble Ray of Madison, Wisconsin. Because it sounded like criminal conduct. Snot Walker is, of course, a Repiglican, so criminal conduct comes easily to him. Our dear friend Jude has provided a phone number, if you should wish. You can, if you like, make a phone call to Police Chief Noble Ray's office, and you'll get a recording, but you can still leave a message saying, I encourage Police Chief Ray to investigate the actions of Governor Walker and to file formal criminal charges if the evidence exists to support them, and to encourage the prosecuting attorney to present it to a grand jury. Chief Ray's office phone number is area code 608-266-4022. Area code 608-266-4022. It probably took a lot of guts for Police Chief Ray to say what he has said. By the way, this morning, we get up early. We get up with the chickens around here. The kids have to be up at 5 to be on the bus at 6, to be at school by 7 or 7:15. It's an hour and 15-minute bus ride to go 6 miles. So we're up early, and along about 6, yes, I admit it, I turn on the television, and I've got another dirty confession to make. Of all the babbling bobblehead shows at that hour of the morning, I land on MSNBC and generally watch a little bit of Morning Joe. I know, it's repulsive, isn't it? I feel dirty. But it's also valuable because you get to see how the enemy is thinking. How the people who would be party to the destruction of this nation are thinking. And this morning I found it absolutely hilarious the thing that most got their attention out of the punking of Governor Snot Walker was the reprehensible, so demeaning statement of the phony David Walker. How about that Mika Brzezinski? She's a hot piece of ass. It gets overtalked, but you can still hear what he says. I thought that was disgusting. Well, do you think this is going to have any negative impact on Governor Walker? Pat Buchanan? Absolutely not. Joe Scarborough? Absolutely not. Every time I see Joe Scarborough, I kind of feel that sort of tickle in my nose, like you're going to sneeze and you just want to go, huh? Closeness! I'd love to be close enough to him to do that. Closeness! 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 You remember Lori Klisutis, the woman in the peak of health who inexplicably keeled over dead in his office, who they had to bring in a hack coroner who had been defrocked in Missouri to do the Florida post-mortem, and said that she died when she bumped her head on the coffee table after having an inexplicable heart malfunction when she was in perfect health. You know, ran 8, 10, 12 miles every day, that kind of perfect health. Close to us. Why'd you kill her, Joe? Kind of reminds you, it's almost like something out of, Raymond Chandler. Why'd you kill her, Joe? Tell us. But, yeah, that's what they were all up in arms about. The fact that the phony David Koch had made a phony David Koch reference to Mika Brzezinski. They were shocked. Shocked. Oh, we're back to Captain Renault again, aren't we? Kathy writing in from Arizona. Don't worry. As long as you take your shower after watching Morning Joe, you're okay, Bob. And these days it's a cold shower because I still haven't gotten the water heater fixed. It may be that the logic board on top of the darn thing is fried. But it is a cold shower indeed, especially for late February. But no, Scott Walker has nothing to worry about, and Pat Buchanan says he's clearly going to win the day. God, I hope Pat Buchanan's wrong. I sincerely do. Although it was a little bit disturbing, there was an AP news report early today noting that the Democrats in the lower chamber of the Wisconsin legislature had struck a deal agreeing to limit debate on the budget bill, which means that there will be a House vote on the budget bill sometime. Not sure when, but that there will be not unlimited debate, but rather there will be a debate with limits and limited amendments. And I hate the way I think sometimes, because the first thing that came to me was, oh, damn, they caved. I hope they didn't, but they may have. The Wisconsin Senate Democrats remain in hiding, apparently in Chicago. And Governor Snot Walker says that he's going to investigate that to see if there are any ethics violations. Because, you know, saying that you've got a ball bat in your office and you wouldn't mind using it on those Senate Democrats, there's nothing unethical about that. You know, you got two people on the phone there, Chief Ray. You might want to investigate the possibility of conspiracy to commit murder. Because remember, you don't have to, within conspiracy, you don't have to do the thing. You just have to take a substantial step. and you can make an argument there. And you know what? One of the conspirators, as the FBI frequently proves to us when it finds some disaffected 16-year-old kid in the inner city and says, "Hey, don't you hate America? You want to bomb a building? We can get you some gunpowder and tennis shoes and a basketball." Both sides of the conspiracy don't necessarily have to be in on it. One of them can be a stooge, a phony, a plant, a fake. And so when Governor Snot Walker said, "You know what? I've got a ball bat here," he may well have entered into a conspiracy. The question is there any? Did he take any sort of substantial step? That's all it takes. After the agreement, all it takes is a substantial step. And believe me when I tell you that a good prosecutor can make breathing a substantial step. But this is something that calls for a great deal of courage. A great deal of courage. And I only hope that the elected representatives in Wisconsin have that. I have no doubt of the courage of the people whose lives are on the line. But I do often doubt the courage of the people we have a habit of electing to represent us. Just saying. So there's that. A lot more this evening. Some goings on in Texas. Heartbreak in Florida. And lunacy from Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. Ex post facto justifications from Alan West. Things you never wanted to know about the Church of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints fundamentalist division, and how they get their children to be so compliant. And by the way, ladies, back to the kitchen. Get them shoes off. We got that. And we have word from the Christians this evening. Late breaking news that we didn't get to for prayer meeting. A pastor by the name of David Barton, who has something called the Black Robe Regiment. That sounds like nothing little more than a color change from white sheet to black robe, right? Then again, the Inquisition wore black robes. He intends to teach fundamentalists how to make you and me shut up. Listen.
We so pushed from the bottom up that was the culture. People expected that kind of stuff, and that's what we have to do. We have to be pushing the culture from the bottom up to where the guys that have a secular viewpoint cannot survive, because we are responsible. If the press lacks moral discrimination, it's because we haven't been pushing our people to chop that kind of news off.
Yeah. Did you catch the eliminationist moment? Let's go back.
Up to where the guys that have a secular viewpoint cannot survive.
Guys that have a secular viewpoint cannot survive. He's either a Dominionist or a Reconstructionist, or maybe a little bit of both. But we don't get free speech, you and I. This little conversation that we have five nights a week here at the Horn. Pastor David Barton doesn't think you and I should be having it, because we make light of the fairy tales that he believes to be real. Because we refuse to ascribe to his proto-fascist, neo-fascist, perhaps, view of the role of religion in society. People with viewpoints, guys with viewpoints like that can't survive. Isn't that inspiring coming from a follower of the Prince of Peace? But at his Black Robe Regiment website, he's got all kinds of sermons published. And he'll explain for you, among other things, the kind of sermons that were preached by the preachers back when this nation was founded on basic Judeo-Christian principles. Almighty God, amen. Yeah.
Here's one on earthquakes. What happened was in 1755 in New England, they had an earthquake, and so the next Sunday, the pulpit was covered with sermons on earthquakes. Whatever was in the news, we covered from the pulpit. Here's a sermon on architecture. It's a sermon on the opening of a great bridge over the Connecticut River. The Bible and architecture? Yes. Whatever was in the news, we had in the pulpit. Here's a sermon on taxes. Specifically, this is a sermon on the repeal of a particular type of tax. The Bible covers all sorts of taxes, shows what are good, what are bad taxes, and we covered that from the pulpit. Here's what's called an election sermon. We had elections. So what does the Bible say about elections and about choosing our leaders and our responsibilities and the responsibility of those elected? We cover that in election sermons. Here is a sermon on obedience to the laws of God as a sure and indispensable defense of nations. If you want to have a safe nation, follow God's principles. Here's a sermon on the reciprocal influence of civil policy and religious duty, how one helps the other. Here's a sermon that's called an execution sermon. This is a sermon preached on the execution of Henry Blackburn for the murder of George Wilkinson. A sermon on executions? Yes, if it was in the news, we covered it from the pulpit. We gave a biblical viewpoint on every issue of the day. Here's a sermon that's called an artillery sermon. Once a year, we got the military together and said, what does the Bible say is the proper role of the military? And you may recall, even John the Baptist had specific instructions for officers and for soldiers, and so every year we had an artillery sermon. Here's a sermon on property tax. Again, the Bible covers specific types of taxation, so we dealt with those issues. Here's a sermon on the moral view of railroads. Railroads? Yes. The Bible and transportation.
There are railroads in the Bible? Yes.
God has lots of transportation principles in the Bible. We covered that. Here's a sermon on a solar eclipse. Now, most people probably have never heard a sermon on a solar eclipse. But the Bible has many verses on both solar and lunar eclipses.
They do, and the Bible's got verses about when the sun stands still in the sky, which means that the sun is revolving around the earth, which means that the whole solar system has turned arsy-varsy and helter-skelter, but never mind.
We covered that. Here's a sermon on the passage of a marriage law. A new law was passed by the legislature. If it dealt with any issue that was in the Bible, we covered the passage of that law. We discussed it from the...
We! This guy is 300 years old, we!
Biblical viewpoint. Here's one called the Christian Patriot. That's our dual citizenship. We are citizens in this world, but also citizens of heaven. We looked at our responsibilities as a Christian and as a patriot. Here's a sermon on the transatlantic telegraph.
Because there were telegraphs in the Bible and telephones, and there's probably an internet somewhere in 30-second flip-floppians.
Bible and technology. Here's a sermon on the relation of the medical profession to the ministry, the Bible and health care. Here's a sermon.
If you ain't healed miraculously, God means for you to die because you're a filthy sinner. Amen.
On the moral uses of the sea. This was a sermon given on board a ship before it was about to set sail, and it looked at what the Bible said about the ocean and the right use of the sea and the role of sailors, etc.
You know, and the world is flat, and if you go too, don't go too far, saith the Lord, or thou shalt fall off the edge.
Here is a sermon on the Great Fire in Boston. It was a local tragedy, but again, if it was in the news, it was in the pulpit. And here's a sermon on the discovery of a new planet, the planet Uranus. The Bible...
Hey, Pastor Barton, I can see your anus.
As much as they
had to.
About astronomy. Whatever the issue was, we covered it from the pulpit.
Yeah, covered it. Covered it from the pulpit. Accurately? No guarantee on accurately. These are all things that were written in the 18th century by people who were desperately trying to resist the Enlightenment. Stunning, isn't it? That's all stuff that people who joined the Black Robe Regiment. Regiment, like an army. An army of God! You know, there where it says in the thirteenth chapter of Epaminondas, take up thy M16 and follow me. Come on, y'all, let's go and make them children suffer. It's a decided departure from take up thy cross and follow me, and suffer not the little children to come unto me, or suffer the little children to come unto me. Right. The Bible has the answer to everything. And one of the answers that the Bible has is, what was that again, David Barton? What was that?
Up to where the guys that have a secular viewpoint cannot survive.
But cannot survive. David Barton wants you and me dead. Astonishing, huh? Let me check in on something real quick. Interesting. John Fox just sent me a note, said, you mentioned Coke, and the website crashed. What the... Trying to find out right now if we're actually still sending a program. Let me look in here. Let me ask the gang in the chat room. We'll find out. Just waiting now. Kind of hard to go on with a thought when you're not sure if you're actually doing a program or not. If I was just recording a podcast, it would be different, but this is actually live radio. Yeah, I don't whistle again. I don't whistle well at all. I won't whistle again. Okay, oh, we're still sending. That's beautiful. That's reassuring. So I tell you what, just in case there are ongoing problems, let's do something here. Let's take a little break. It's Thursday, so therefore we have the Green News Report, something that we missed on Tuesday, and which I always enjoy. So indeed, we will... We will take a little break and come back. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You know the phone number here, 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. And remember, we are only a scant $70 away from being able to collect on Darlene's $200 challenge. Seven people, $10. Let's just get that over with so that I can stop talking. Right, you'd like that too, wouldn't you? Yeah, I thought so. Anyway, we'll be back. Green News Report's on the way. This is The Horn.
Ooh, baby, do you know?
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, February 24th, 2011.
Oil prices spike on Middle East unrest. Getting gassy at the Oscars. The hidden costs of coal. Air pollution is deadlier than cocaine. Plus, unrest in the Midwest, powered by Coke. The billionaire Koch brothers, that is.
All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I just pray that Wisconsin does not fall. After all, Wisconsin has long been an ally of the United States. It is our only bulwark against Minnesota. Without Wisconsin, we would soon be overrun by Garrison Keillor.
This is your Green News Report.
The horror. The folksy, folksy horror.
Okay, Des, if only we had foreseen years ago that there could be trouble and unrest in the Middle East that might affect our oil prices here in the U.S.
Who could possibly have foreseen that unrest in Libya could spike the price of oil?
Maybe we would have spent less time on cup holders in the car and more time on, I don't know, energy efficiency?
Oh, I don't know. It does seem like it's a movie we've seen before.
Indeed.
Speaking of movies we've seen, here's one you might not have. Gasland on this Sunday's Oscar telecast. It's nominated in the Best Documentary category and is unique for being the target of a public smear campaign. Gasland covers the controversial natural gas drilling technique known as hydraulic fracturing, or fracking for short, in which millions of gallons of fresh water laced with toxic chemicals are injected deep into rock.